Whatever, very, very.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, January 17th, 2005, with my special co-host, Samara.
Hello, hello, hello.
That was an excellent co-host intro. We got to come up with a better
Hi.
It's always hard to do the intro, right? Because you're like, and here's my co-host, Samarian. Hi there, you know.
How are you doing?
How are you doing out there? But actually, that's going to totally clash. And we got lounge music with Juno Reactor.
Yeah, lounge music's not going to work.
Not going to work.
No.
I have so much stuff to cover this episode. Oh, my God. Grab your ass. We're going to be just moving really, really, really fast for this. So try to keep up, all of you crazy people out there in internet land. Because that's an art. You know, it's an art.
What?
You got all these stories. You're like, oh, my God, the show's so big. And then last time I had to skip over a bunch of stuff, and I hate that.
Oh, this time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to kind of sync it up. But if you go too fast, because I'll rush through it, and then I'll have more time.
Yeah.
At the end, and I'll be
that's
like,
no good either.
Yeah, and then you're like,
that's
oh,
not too bad.
I guess I got 15 minutes to fill. I guess I'll talk about
Well, your show site is up.
It is. My show site is up, and oh, boy, is that ever sexy.
Crano
Media
yeah.
is amazing. Crano is incredible. The guy also designed the Dark Atlas website, which is, you know, sex. You don't really, like, how do you say thank you for something like that? You know, really. I mean, just putting... Thanks for making me have a web presence that really rules ours. You rock soars my socks oars. I'm going to write him he wants a reference letter, I guess, from us, saying how much he's rad. So I'm thinking about writing the whole letter in leet speak. So he can give
that
it to
would be just wonderful.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he can use that.
What is this?
This guy totally helped me with my plans for world domination. And now, very soon, I will be sending my giant toads down upon the peoples of the earth. Thank you, Crano Media. You rock soar. Sure, he'll be working for Monsanto tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But Crano, once again, yes, Crano Media. Crano Media is holy goodness. If anyone wants websites, go to Crano because he does them for free.
That's right.
That's right.
All day long.
All
that's
day
all
long,
he
that's
does.
That's all he does. No, no, no.
That's all he does.
That's all he does. It's what he does. It's all he does. He's going to rip down your fucking neck and rip your heart out. Feedback. Hey, guys. I had time today, so as promised, I postered a bit in downtown Toronto. This is from Bastard Guy. There are only 5 posters up. When time allows, I want to get more made and hit every pole on Queen Street with a couple of guys. Okay, he's talking about the posters. Considering how much I borrow the color laser printer from my work, my conscience is getting to me, and I want to get good quality, legit prints. Well, I never let my conscience bug me at my work, let me tell you. I've compiled a zip file containing 1.movie file and 6 photos, large enough for you to share with other Rant Radio folks, but I'm not going to post it in my links, because I thought about doing that, but then that'd be a dick thing to do. Please also let me know when you've downloaded a file, so I can free up some web space. Yeah, no problem. I'll let you know when everybody else has downloaded it, too. Also, if you don't trust me and don't want me to download or open a zip file, let me know and we can figure out another transfer method. Cheers, Bastard Guy. Now, generally, I don't unzip things that people send me. You know,
okay,
if I download. Because that's dumb. That's
very
really dumb. But we know Bastard Guy.
Yes.
You know,
he's been around for a long time.
He's not a stranger. And let's be real, the guy is going downtown printing out posters and putting them up in town. The guy's like missioning. You know, he's doing like missionary rant radio,
he's
missionary
door to
server
door,
work.
Spouting out
yeah,
the
you know,
goodness
he's,
of
he's,
Sean.
Hi, I'm Bastard Guy. I've got some good news for you today.
You heard about the word of Sean?
Have you heard about the word of Sean? Terms like that, you know, word of Sean and the church of Sean and all that kind of stuff where, you know, let's not a religion, do not worship. Okay, that's not what's going on here. Bastard Guy, it's amazing what he's doing. If more people did this, the open source celebrity movement would just be massive. And I, it's like the website. How do you say thank you for doing something like that? You know, hey, thanks, guy. You rule. You know,
about all you can do.
Yeah, it's all I can really do, except for, you know,
show.
Except for talk about it. I mean, Bastard Guy is an example, really. I mean, if anyone wants to know where the bar is at, I mean, that's pretty severe to go downtown and start actually plastering your town with posters.
Oh,
that's hardcore. That is hardcore. And Dude, you can't do anything better than that.
Like, that poster will be up on the site, the newsreel site, in a couple days.
Oh, yeah.
So probably by Monday. Probably by Monday.
Probably by the time they...
By the time they hear this.
So, now.
In real time, now.
See, Sim can't get around this time travel concept. See, this is broadcast
We're in
to
the future.
We're broadcasting
oh
to the future
God.
Right now.
It's like
now.
The after now.
Yeah,
I can't understand it.
That's because Sim is a non-spiritual fuck. Moving right along. And see, notice how it's my show, so I can just hack on Sim.
There's spirituality in the vegetables.
Yeah, there is. Murderer.
In the trees.
In the trees. Well, actually, there probably
they
is.
They give life to me.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, that you take life by murdering.
I take life.
I take the life. I sacrifice this cantaloupe.
Chop.
Which, incidentally, is what they were stabbing in Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock used to sit and listen.
Oh, yeah.
When they were... Because if you watch the original Psycho, there's that scene where she's in the shower and then the knife comes in and it's all... But you hear this... this sound. And what Hitchcock did is, on the set, he brought in all these cantaloupes and the special effects guy. He sat next to it and then closed his eyes. And the guy stabbed every fruit until he got to the fruit that he wanted. And Hitchcock went with a cantaloupe, I think it was. And he goes,
Hitchcock knows the sound of a person being stabbed.
Which is kind of scary. You know, like nobody fucks with Alfred after that. You know, he's a little weird, you know. So that's I thought that
yes,
was pretty
that's
cool.
That's perfect. That See, sounds like someone
I
being stabbed.
Think that's what you should do. You should use this cantaloupe to knife people. Thanks, Al. You're a freak show. Now, got us more feedback here. Actually, Sean, now, Melican, this is from Melican.
Okay.
Melican is totally takes me to task on everything I say.
You know you're wrong there. You're no, totally
it
off
does,
base.
No, it's not like that because the guy is really cool, and I'm all about, you know, I do want to report accurate news.
Oh, of course.
Like, I mean, I don't have a lot of check time for this stuff because the shit's really raw, so I've got to kind of go with guts and with people that I have to trust my sources. So if I get a chance to correct something I say with a fact,
which
not
is
with
good.
An opinion, I don't give a fuck about the counter opinion. I'm talking about fact. That you know, sometimes I like to hear about that. Now, I was talking about taxes and how taxes are voluntary in Canada. Well, it turns out, according to Buddy here, taxes are voluntary in the U.S. as well. Now, a lot of people don't know this, and in reality, it's the cornerstone of the common law terrorist groups. The scary thing about common law groups is that they know the U.S. laws better than any group of people. They're, in my opinion, fools who think that the police and judges care about the law, which, of course, they don't. The police and the judges care about peace. Anyways, back to taxes. The only way you can be forced to pay taxes is if you're registered as a weapons dealer or alcohol or alcohol vehicle. Well, legally anyway. I learned a long time ago that being on the right side of the law doesn't stop from police from arresting you. Sean, I beg you to urge people not to fuck with the tax system. This is not to fuck with the tax system. This is really easy. If you stop paying taxes, you will present an example for other people. The government feels its lifeline is being threatened. Solution, they arrest you. They will arrest you no matter how legally right you are. Not only that, if you start spewing out legal language, you're going to be flagged as a subversive and a suspect terrorist. Trying to make the world better through the legal system is a war. People die. People get captured. People simply falling by the wayside. This is war I was in for 5 years. It's a long and involved story that has given me one hell of an education about how things work. If you want to know the mechanics of the Matrix, let me know, but prepare yourself for an hour of reading. Your country is like my country. All things you've listed for Canada works in the U.S. except for breed-specific legislation. Truth and honor, Melican. Now, at some point, you have to stand up and you have to go, wait. Oh, I could get in trouble for doing this? Well, I guess not. Now, the whole point of this news show is that this news show is supposed to have some teeth. Judge me by my enemies. Judge me by the people who defame me. If Fox News starts going off and calling me everything from a pedophile to, you know, someone who's corrupting youth, all these bullshit slogans, you know, they'll tie a bunch of stuff. I'm a hacker terrorist. I'm a pirate. I'm evil. I'm evil, you know.
It's awful.
You know, and the mayor of New York was, you know, doing crack or whatever it was. I mean, you know, Clinton got a blowjob. Everybody's got, you know, defamation is an art. Okay, that's what these people do. They spin doctor anything. So when they decide to arrest me, they'll make me look like I'm the bad guy to sell it to the American populace, which is why we're talking about a war. But the war we're talking about is a media war. Because if we can get enough people who know the truth and all my stuff's for freely distributed, if they lock me up and put me in jail, would you think that'll help my reputation or hinder my reputation? Gee, I don't know. I think what would happen is a lot of people would be like, what, they locked up Sean? For what? For talking about ideas? Some kook in his bedroom screaming into a microphone about news stories he read on the internet got locked up? Whoa, hey, maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe, you know, if they lock me up, I'm only going to get strong. Yeah, Sim will stop. Sim will just roll over. Oh, shit.
That's
Sean,
it.
That's it. Fuck Sean. You know, I've got my shit to worry about. Like, this, we're not doing this for the money, okay? And just for those of you trying to catch up with
that's
the local.
That's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious. We've been doing this for a long enough time. We are some of those crazy people who actually, you know, believe in what we're doing. We believe in the whole concept of, like, free speech and liberty and all that kind of jazz. That's why we do this. Now, granted, if you want to fuck with the tax system, now the guy brings up a really good point. Don't be stupid. Okay, and I'll talk about this later. Be tactical about this. Fight wars you know you can win. If you're not going to win the tax thing, you're not.
No.
Even because they're going to lose their money and then they'll fucking they'll
freak out.
They have
some incentive.
You can create problems if you want to, but you know, the squeaky wheel gets greased. That's just how it is. So, you know, it's okay for me to be doing this because, well, I'm a nut. And this is, you know, what I've chosen to do with my life is to try to provide information and resources for you people. But for all you 14-year-olds out there thinking about, fuck that, I'm never going to pay taxes. Hoorah, fuck the system. Okay, well,
now,
you know
get
what?
Get ready for a fight.
Yeah, I'd rather people be subversive and try to affect change using like a directional chaos approach versus, you know, picking wars that other people have tried to win and cannot win. So I think that Melikan has a good point. But moving on, here's my favorite email of the day. You ready for this one? Oh, and on that tax thing, if you want more information, BlitzCon sent me a link talking about what we just discussed in case you want to know more information. It'll be on my LiveJournal, provided LiveJournal comes back up because they died.
Hopefully.
Just after they got purchased, they died. Yeah. Oh, which freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, ah, where's my
lots,
shit?
And there's lots of links on the webs on the internet about people evading taxes and how they're harassed by the police and the judicial system.
If you don't want to pay taxes, make sure you live on a boat. That's about the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
I've heard about guys doing that. They live on boats, blah, 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 getting very, you know, snow crash very quickly. Now, I got this email from Syntax and Porsche. Not crazy about the Porsche name. Somebody needs a digital baptism. But
yeah.
That's okay. Who am I? You know, I'm sure Porsche didn't. He didn't pay Porsche for that. So you know, it's okay. Yeah. It's a corporate name. It's
yes,
like people
it
are
is.
Naming their kids that.
Yeah.
People
corporate
are naming their
names.
Kids
I
after,
think it's cool.
After cars and
yeah.
stuff. Hi, this is my daughter Monsanto. No, sorry, sick, weird. This is my son Kraft. I call him that because he can't remember a fucking thing. Anyway, I told. So I got this email. This is my favorite email probably of the week. This one was rad. And it'll be yours, too. I told my hooked-up wife about your story on the law that is going through the state in Virginia about miscarriages. Now, that, for those of you who are not playing along at home, the law in Virginia states that if you don't, like, report your miscarried baby, because this woman, of course, has just, you know, gone through something I could never probably understand, and I would imagine is probably pretty fucking traumatic. So, like, you know, your baby or this thing you're carrying or whatever, the fetal or whatever, you go through a medical emergency and you have a miscarriage, which can happen for any fucking reason and is bound to do wonderful things emotionally, hormonally, and everything else to the woman. So, you know, she's generally fucked up. So she gets put in the fucked up box until she can unfuck her brain and that'll be fine. Okay, but anyway, this is the, but so miscarriages, what they wanted to do was they wanted to, if there was a miscarriage, if you didn't report that within a certain time frame, you go to jail for murder.
Nice.
What? Yeah, really twisted stuff. So anyway, I, of course, wigged the fuck out on the radio about this. And then she told, so he tells his hooked-up wife about this. Now, state in Virginia about miscarriage. Then she told her friends at NOW, the National Organization of Women, about this. And the president of NOW personally sent her an email that stated they're sending a team down to Virginia to fight this. They asked her where she found out about the link, so she told them about your show.
Excellent.
So that means the president of NOW...
Yes, knows about your show.
Knows who Sean Kennedy is, and because of the alert that I sent out, we're actually affecting reality.
Shit is getting done.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, hey, you know, for those of us who've been around a long time, you can add that to the list of accomplishments. We cleared a bunch of landmines, we saved a whole bunch of rainforests, we shut down a bunch of child porn, and now we're protecting women's rights.
Yes.
Yeah, we're terrorists over here. We're all bad.
Bad
God
things.
Damn. God
Quit
damn.
Quit doing that, Sean. Oh.
No. Now, yeah, now what are you doing? You know, I'm in it for the money. Anyway, sort yourself out. This is kind of a sort yourself out, but, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed. So I'm going to address it in the sort yourself out section. Sean, you always say you will obey law enforcement even if you disagree. Yes, because they have guns. But then on Wednesday's show, you said you were willing to go to jail rather than stop your broadcast. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I'm a hypocrite. Also, you made statements that you didn't believe in protesting solved anything. Don't you see your forum programs as a form of protest? Do you think protesters in Ukraine changed anything? Ron. Hi, Ron. Okay, let's just understand here. I think that protesting, of course, is essential. What I don't like is the protesting where you show up, get inside a cage, and scream for an hour. That's not a protest. That's a rehearsal.
In the protest zone, and you put announcements
up. Yeah,
you
put announcements, and everybody knows, if you want to protest, you protest over here. Okay, there was no protest zones in the Ukraine. Now, I'm not against protesting. What I'm against is ineffective protesting. If they know you're coming and they got everything set up and they put you in a paddy wagon before you start yelling, you've accomplished nothing. All you've done is you've stepped into their anti-protesting system. Okay? Unfortunately, for people to protest now effectively, if you protest the way you'd have to protest now, like through humor or whatever, it actually falls into terrorist clause. So I can't really even tell people how to protest, because then I'm telling people how to break the law. Okay? And then that's where things get a little bit dodgy. Now, when I say you obey law enforcement, that's because there's a man with a gun talking to you. I don't give a fuck if he's a cop. If a man with a gun tells you to do something, unless you're willing to go to war and die and stuff, or fuck up the rest of your life, you better comply. I don't view cops as the enemy. You got to bear in mind this also. Cops are not the enemy. Cops are merely the tool of the corporate political. They take it in the teeth. These poor bastards, they probably even agree with what you're doing, but they've got to alter their software so that they can mace crowds and do all this kind of stuff. These are people too, okay? Police are cops and all these people. You don't fight the cops. You befriend the cops. You know, they try so hard to isolate cops from the protesters. That's why when these cops show up, yeah, they've got the intimidation factor because they're wearing riot police. But underneath all that armor, underneath that Halloween costume, these are people, too. They've got families. They've got kids. They know corporations are doing it. They know this. They know it's all true. So they don't really want to talk to you. That's why none of the cops talk to you, is because you'll infect them with this weird mental virus idea you've got. I think, you know, generally, I'd put the sexy chicks to go up to talk to the cops. Seriously, why not? Use the same propaganda they use on us. You want to put hot chicks on the magazines? No problems. Okay, why don't we just try to use more subversive tactics? I'm into effective protests. I believe that my show is an effective protest. I will not stop the show just because they tell me to, because if they tell me to stop the show, it means I'm making a difference. You see? See how that works? The longer I go with my show, the more of a difference I make, and it draws more attention. The reason why I do the show is to draw attention to these issues. It's not because I'm not in it for the money. There's no money here. Okay? I've turned down lots of offers to go do things for bigger cash because I actually have this funny thing called moral beliefs and, you know, ideals. What the hell? What are you thinking? You know, where that's the whole purpose of the show is, yes, it is a protest. It's a way of alerting people. It's not designed as a process. It's designed as a resource. You know, people were saying to me, do you view your fans as a resource? No, I view myself as a resource to my fans. That is the idea. I give this freely to you to do with as you see fit. If you don't like it, don't listen to me. That's what freedom's all about. That's why I do this. So, do I think that protests solve things? Well, they don't actually, very rarely do they solve things, but they quite often provide the fuel for change to occur. But it has to be done properly and effectively. And of course, you know, sometimes protests are best received when they're nonviolent. But it seems like some, you know, when you look at some of these protests that happen in other countries, some of them aren't, you know, nonviolent. And I want to avoid violence. I want to avoid violent protests, because that's where people get hurt and people get killed. And it's not fun. It's not fun. So, well, I'd rather do it the peaceful way. But if the peaceful way doesn't get results, then there's going to be other people that not listening to me who will say, well, you know, Sean's okay. But and he wants to stay on the, you know, away from encouraging people for violent protests, which I do. I don't think that, you know, violence is a horrible thing that should be avoided. I use my personal moral compass, for anyone who's interesting, is anything that increases suffering is bad. Things that decrease suffering is good, because the Christians always lay that on you. You know, if you don't have a Bible, where's your moral compass? You have nothing to do if you don't have a Bible. You don't go what the Bible says, you're fucked. No, my moral compass is as follows. If I'm looking at a thing and I decide, is this right? Is this wrong? You know, are they increasing suffering by doing this? Yes, then it's probably wrong, because you're increasing suffering. Anything that decreases suffering is generally better. And that's in the long term, not just the short term. So you got to
pretty much anybody can go by that.
That's pretty general.
Pretty
you know,
general.
That's kind of Buddhist.
Yeah.
Are you increasing the suffering with this action or decreasing suffering? If we can decrease world suffering, then we'll decrease world problem, because that's how that shit works. Now, moving right along with that into my opinion section. Dear Sean and Sim.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
here we go. One subject you've always talked about in all your shows is spirituality and the paranormal. Well, that's being a little generous, but we do talk about it a lot.
Time to time.
I was curious to hear your current take on the afterlife. What do you believe could await us when we die? Sim!
Well, there's these guys that put you in a box, and they take you to usually a grassy area.
Right.
And they lower the box, a bunch of people cry, they read some words.
And you and the box,
decay go. Decay into, till you turn into dust, maybe they'll exhume you and, like...
And that's it.
And destroy the box, or the worms eat you and stuff like that, and you get recycled back into the earth.
So, what about the, and I'm not challenging,
yeah.
I'm just saying, so, that's what happens to your body, what about the consciousness that is understanding my voice right now?
The chemical reactions that are interpreting the sound waves.
Yeah, that stopped.
Yeah, that ceases when the blood flow stops.
And everything just kind of stops,
you know, when you die.
So Sim is done.
Yeah.
So much for Sim.
Yeah, yeah. So effect change while you're still here.
Right.
Because there is no reward in heaven for you.
Right. So live now, you know, long live the fucking beast. So that's
the carrot and the stick, yeah.
So
don't believe it.
So Sim is confirmed then as an atheist. So when you die, dirt nap, that's it, game over. I of course, am a little different. Now, the problem here is that I don't believe in what everyone has told me God is wrong. Okay, because of Sean's little math formula, God would, by their definition, would be infinite. Therefore, I can't understand the smallest part of God, because the smallest part of God would also be infinite. My mind is finite. Therefore, all this documentation, which takes infinite ideals and tries to categorize them, would therefore be flawed inherently due to math. And all the holy books are therefore not inherently wrong, but not totally right either, because they're not an authoritative source. What we have is an awkward description of events, or possibly things or ideals or concepts about energies that these, you know, backwards robe-wearing savages had no idea what the fuck was going on. I mean, how's some camel jockey in the dawn of time going to explain to me the nature of the universe? It's just not going to work.
Right. All right.
That doesn't mathematically make sense. So it's easier to ask me what I don't believe. I don't believe the rock in the big box over there is holy. I don't believe a dead guy on a stick, you know, came back to life after 3 days. Okay, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I read a book called The Tomb of God, where this dude found actually where the body of Christ really is.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who wants to, you know, go check that and do the hard math. But I don't argue religious theology anymore. I did it up until about the age of 16. Because what if you win? You know, what if you win and you totally destroy this person's operating system, you know?
You're right. Absolutely,
you know,
right.
And people freak out when they feel that their operating system and what they core believe their reality structure is threatened. They fucking wig.
Blue screen.
Ah, shit. And they don't know how to deal with it. So what awaits us when we die? You're going to get a resounding, I don't know. But on the upside, there's something. I think there is something that happens to us after we die.
Is this a hope, or is this like...
Well,
there's
a few things that don't make sense to me,
yeah.
Right, that fits. I would believe Sim, because that's cool, but we have more evidence of the supernatural than there is than we landed on the moon. You know someone. Everyone listening to my voice right now knows somebody that's seen a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty widespread. Now, maybe that's some weird time theory thing where things get recorded by environments due to vibration and gets re-released into the atmosphere. And that's one theory about ghosts.
And, yeah.
Or it could be, you know, that frequency that discovered in England. It's a low frequency hertz. At certain times, the planet produces this frequency. Therefore, people see symbols and stuff. That's also another theory.
There's lots of scientific explanations.
But there is real phenomena, too. There's, you know, spontaneous healing. That happens.
Yeah.
There are healed events. There are people who were sick, got better. That did occur. Does that discount that science? No, I'm not going playing the Christian card here. Oh, we found human tracks inside a dinosaur track. See, the planet's only 10,000 years old. No, none of that shit, okay?
That makes my head hurt.
I believe in science and technology, but I also believe that there is a consciousness, that there is some kind of an energy. And this reflects a lot in my horror novels, where I talk about energy cannot be created or destroyed. So from that, if you believe that your consciousness has energy, that energy upon death changes you, whether or not you keep concept of self and your personality, I think has a lot to do how you configure yourself when you're alive, to be honest. Because a lot of people don't even realize they're alive to start with. What about these guys who, you know, watch Friends every night, play Jeopardy, and then they drift off into the sleep and you know, and they never made an impact in life. They never did anything. They never got the experience. Their brain, their intellect, their consciousness did not evolve. This is why it's important that you do things that get you out into the world. You have experiences, because at the end of the day, when you're just about ready to kick off this mortal coil, You only have your experiences to take with you. What you have seen, what you have heard. That's why I spent, you know, my entire 20s gallivanting around the globe, making absolutely no money, but traveling, doing the most extreme shit I could think of, so that I had these experiences to gain wisdom from. And so, in the short of it, what do I believe? What do you believe could await us? Well, that's pretty leading. What I'll say awaits us after we die is there's something waiting for you after we die, and I don't think it's bad. So that's what I'll go with. Yeah. I may not be quote unquote good, but I think the absence of eternal burning for a mere trifle of time, you know, like, oh, you didn't accept Jesus as your personal savior. Yeah, but I fed a lot of homeless kids, and you know, I helped some people in Australia, and I did all this. Nope, no Jesus for you. Go to hell. For eternity.
I just think this idea of heaven and hell is such a...
It's asinine.
It's an egocentric view on the universe. And it's like, okay, there's humans on this one planet. And all of a sudden, because there's heaven and hell, because there's humans on these planets, and there's a huge universe. What happens to aliens on planet QZ?
You know, the problem...
They're not Christian.
The problem
That's ridiculous.
The problem is that religion is stupid. That's the problem. Yeah. When people go, well, how do you say it's a guy? It's fucking dumb. The whole concept's retarded, okay? Yeah, and you know, if you don't do this, then he looks
you don't
after
whip
you.
Yourself six
we're hardwired.
Days.
We're hardwired to believe in religion. We've got a chunk of our brain, okay, that wants to believe in religion. I've got people who listen to what I say like I'm some kind of priest, okay? That's not the goal here. I'm not after cult followers. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's why when I ran an organization, I called it a cult, because I'm being facetious. This
Pretty
is
obvious.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
You know, but people don't realize that. What I do believe is that everyone does have a mind and an intellect and has value to contribute. And if we all can have solidarity, and if you want to put a name on it and call them wogs or call them cyberpunks or call them, you know, emo or the Generation X or whatever the hell you want to call people, that's fine if you want to choose your identity with that. But what I'm saying is, what if we could just get like a multi-identity concept going where everybody uses the whole idea of directional chaos, you know, multiple random directions heading in general, you know, course and path that will promote positive change in our environment. If we can do that, that will be better. But we have to keep moving, otherwise we're going to die. Now, that's from the Grey
Ghost. Keep moving.
That's from the Grey Ghost. Now, Grey Ghost. News. I'm going to go over this because analysis of seven different regimes revealing
He's turning into the Swedish chef.
Good God. They got to me. Analysis of seven regimes reveals 14 common threads that link recognizable patterns of national behavior and the abuse of power in fascism. Okay, these basic characteristics are more prevalent and intense in some regimes than in others, but they all share at least some level of similarity. So this is like a 14-point checklist to see if you live in a fascist country, is what this
Take
is.
The quiz.
Take this quiz. Okay, number one, powerful and continuing expressions of nationalism, sort of like from pommel displays of flags and blunting of ubiquitous lapel fins, the fervor to show patriotic nationalism, both on the part of the regime itself and of the citizens caught up in this frenzy.
Blind patriotism.
Blind, you know, you're with us or you're against us. Catchy slogans, pride in the military, and demands for unity were common themselves. You know, back the troops. It was usually coupled with a suspicion of things foreign that borders on xenophobia.
The enemy.
Yeah, now you know what they're calling Mysterious everyone now? Enemy. This is fun. You're going to notice this. Sean's Media Watch right here. Check this out. When they're talking about foreigners now, they're not foreigners. They're not immigrants. They're now aliens. You'll notice that. You know,
yeah.
All over the United States. Aliens. Alien influence. Alien. Fucking aliens. Those fucking aliens from Mexico.
Yeah.
What? Number two. Disdain for the importance of human rights. These regimes viewed human rights as of little value and hindrance to realizing the objectives of the ruling elite. Well, you can't break an omelet without making a few eggs. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
Or make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. Wow, why do I do that? That's just twisted. Through clever use of propaganda, the population was brought to accept these human rights by marginalizing, even demonizing.
Well, how are we going to get them if we don't strike down these human rights?
They're terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
Number three. Identification of enemies / scapegoats as unifying cause. The most significant common thread among the regimes was use of scapegoating. It's the Jews. It's the kids. It's the educated people. It's the terrorists. It's the music. As a means to divert people's attention from other problems, to shift blame for failures, and to channel frustration in controlled directions. The method of choice, relentless propaganda, and disinformation are usually effective. Number four... the supremacy of military and militarism. Now, a lot of people will call me on this. Sean, you like a militant society? Yes, because it's effective. And I'm not the only one who thinks so. That I like a benevolent military society versus a non-benevolent. Also, I think that should almost be in a quasi-caste system. See the Mumbari from Babylon 5.
A defensive as opposed to a
it's a strong,
offensive.
Like you never use the army. And when you use the army, you generally use them once every 20 years so everyone knows that it's not a good idea to use the army.
Yeah.
The supremacy of military, running elites always identify closely with the military. Lots of uniforms, industrial infrastructure that supports it. A disproportionate share of national resources is allocated to the military in all courses. Number five, rampant sexism. Beyond the simple fact that the political elite and national culture will male-dominate, these regimes invariably viewed women as second-class citizens. They were admittedly anti-abortion and homophobic. Six, control mass media. Undertone of some regime, mass media were under the strict direction and control to be relied upon to never stray from the party line. Other regimes exercise more subtle power in media orthodoxy. Methods including control of media is licensing and access to resources, economic pressure, appeals to patriotism, and implied threats. That's another point of fascism. Seven, obsession with national security.
We must protect ourselves
at all
costs.
We must protect ourselves at all costs. I'm not even going to bother with that one. Eight, religion and ruling elite tied together. Good Christian concepts. We're not bigots. We're cultural conservatives. Yeah. Number nine, the power of corporations is protected because they got the money. Although the personal life of ordinary citizens was under strict control, no more privacy for you, but the large corporations operate in full freedom with nobody talking about what they do. So, yeah, privacy is dead for the little guy, but for the large corporation,
don't question them.
You don't have the right to know. Number 10, the power of labor suppressed or eliminated. No more unions. You know, let's shut Noam Chomsky up. Let's get rid of the unions altogether because they get in the way of corporations. Number 11, disdain and suppression of intellectuals and the arts. Let's just make fun of people who, you know, because there's very few things in America today more impudent than the intellectual. If the intellectuals had any power, Noam Chomsky would be running the show. Intellectuals and the inherent freedom of ideas and expression associated with them were an anathema in these regimes. Intellectual and academic freedoms were considered subversive to national security and the patriotic ideal.
Shut down subversive music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to label that. You betcha.
Radio.
An obsession with crime and punishment. Most of these regimes maintain draconian systems of criminal justice with huge prison populations, which, you know, one in four black people in the United States are either in jail, coming out of jail, or are going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah, that's...
And make new laws based on terrorists.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, well, they're terrorists, therefore it's double the sentence.
That's right, and we just, you know, we put you into the complex. Rampant cronyism and corruption. I don't even have to touch on that. Fraudulent elections. That's a good one. Elections in the form of plebiscites or public opinion polls were usually bogus. Where the actual elections candidates were held would be usually perverted by the power elite to get the desired result. Common methods include maintaining control, election machinery, election machinery, called black box voting, electoral machinery, and the vote, intimidating and disenfranchising opposing voters.
Yep.
A vote for Nader is a vote for Bush.
Yep.
Destroying or disallowing legal votes, and as a last resort, turning to judiciary beholden to the power elite. So, like, oh, if we don't like the outcome, we'll just legislate it into being. And does any of this ring alarm bells? Of course not. This is America, North America, where democracy with the rule of law, a constitution and a free press, honest election, and realm-informed public constantly being put on guard against evils. Historical comparisons like these are just exercises in verbal gymnastics. Of course, we don't live in a fascist state, even though every single one of the ideas I just expressed is now rampant in America. And they might put me in jail for saying that, so you know. Maybe you should just distribute this particular episode to orchestrate the 14 finer points of fascism. And no, for the record, fascism is not the way you want to do things. Now, once and for all, since I'm really stepping on people's toes this episode, the whole Christian concept, Muslim concept of God, as you know him, does not exist, okay? You got to go with science. Science and religion are not enemies. Because I believe there is something else and there may be some sort of cosmic energy, That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm against science. I'm for science because science will give us the ability to understand this right. and therefore be closer to whatever, you know, big G, little G God you want to call it, okay, the energy or whatever.
So maybe this energy is their God.
Maybe it's like electricity. I don't know. It's a consciousness thing. I don't understand how it works. I haven't got the data yet. Yeah. But I think it's something to this, okay? But the judges... Nix's evolution textbook stickers. Disclaimer questioning why the theory is ruled unconstitutional. The Cobb County Board of Education required these stickers to be posted into a biology textbook. Now, this textbook, I'll read it to you. It says as follows. This textbook contains material on evolution. Evolution is a theory, not a fact, regarding the origin of living things. This material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully, and critically considered. That's what the sticker says. Now,
shouldn't everything be considered that?
Yeah.
Everything's always evolving. Yeah. Ideas, concepts are always evolving.
Now, we all know that evolution is pretty much about as proven as it can be. So, once again, cut the shit, okay? Grow the fuck up.
What about God? What about God? God.
Good. You know, Nietzsche was right. Thanks for coming out. A federal judge Thursday ordered suburban Atlanta school system to remove stickers from its high school biology textbooks that called evolution theory not a fact. Yay! Some judge has got an idea, saying the disclaimers are unconstitutional endorsement of religion. By de-integrating evolution, the school board appears to be endorsing well-known prevailing alternative theory, creationism. Okay, creationism is fucking stupid. Wow! I just... You know what? They... At least they're getting rid of the stickers, so the creationists are losing ground. Thank you, Jesus.
Creationism is such a simplistic point of view. It's like, yeah, they made it, and that's all we need to know.
Like,
Don't look at it any further.
Yes, Virginia, there is no God, okay? But that doesn't mean that there isn't something. It's just that the concept of how you're viewing it, the God as you think it is, doesn't exist. That's evolving. That's changing. Okay, and you don't like it because it's fucking change. Well, I got news for you. Welcome to the 21st century. We've got to get past all this bone-throwing bullshit and get to the stuff that really matters. Maybe there's a way prayer works. Yes, these things do work. I'm not discounting the ability of these things. I'm not discounting the ability of prayer. I'm not discounting the values that comes from church and from community and stuff like that. But let's not base the whole fucking deal on a lie. That's all I'm saying here. You know, we don't need to base it on a lie anymore. We can look at it, like, logically and come to a logical conclusion. Now, following that, mirror shades, because they're cool. I'm a mirror shade freak. It's true, damn it. Motorola on Friday announced a partnership with Oakley, maker of sunglasses and other accessories, to create wearable Bluetooth-enabled communication products. The company's detailed its design to be announced in mid-2005. Bluetooth is emerging technology, blah, blah, blah. Motorola has been making several moves lately to jazz up its image. To deal with Oakley, which produces apparel, footwear, and prescription eyewear, all of which is overpriced and made in sweatshops, comes on the heels of similar ventures between Motorola and apparel maker Burton of Burlington, to develop outerwear to use interactive cell phones and portable music technology so they can track you by your clothing. Additionally, the cell phone company on July plans to make work with Apple Computer, iTunes software with Motorola's handsets. The Gap recently announced a hooded sweatshirt with a built-in radio.
Yay, all the corporations are working together. That's wonderful.
Somebody asked me the other day, like, hey, Sean, I saw you in one of the episodes you were wearing Oakleys. Okay, those Oakleys were a gift, and I've since sold them because I got the money for them.
Justify yourself, Sean.
You know, I hate to say it.
Why do you have those leather couches?
I hate to say it. I really do. But Oakley's make really cool sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yes, they're overpriced. Yes, they are way overpriced. But they make some really slick-ass sunglasses. You know, I mean, I hate to say it. And, you know, if you put on a pair of Oakleys and a pair of cheaper sunglasses, there is a difference. There is a quality difference there. Do I think they're overpriced? Fuck yeah, I think they're overpriced. I did a rant about how overpriced they are. You know what I'm saying? But if so, just so you know, I'm not happy about them being overpriced. But sometimes you got
to
hold
them to be cheaper.
But you'd like them to be cheaper. But if they're not cheaper, I mean, you know, I got rid of mine because I felt a little bit bad about having this stupid pair of sunglasses. Meanwhile, I'm calling down, you know, rampant materialism. So yeah, I sold them. I got rid of them. You know, and I kind of like the glasses, but you know what? Yeah, there's lots of sunglasses out there. But you got to look after your eyes. Your eyes are one of those things that I would probably get really good eyewear for because, I mean, they're your fucking eyes.
Yeah.
Now, pain lasers.
Pain lasers.
This got sent to me by Ricky Rocket.
Pain lasers.
Yeah. In this contract under Naval Research Center, a part of the Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Program, That's dangerous. The University of Florida is studying the sensory consequences of electromagnetic pulses emitted by laser-induced plasmas. In other words, how much pain can be induced by these directed energy weapons without causing physical damage? The document has a fairly high level of red action, including, unbelievably, almost half of its bibliography. Oh, still, it reveals some interesting things, including a detailed look at inducing agony by directly activating the skin's receptors that encode pain without means of heat, chemicals, or physical contact.
Mm.
Great, so we just broadcast a certain frequency to your nerves that tells your nerves you're on fire, not actually lighting you on fire.
Yellow means pain. Red means death.
Thanks to Edward Hammond of the Sunshine Project for unearthing this document and letting the memory hole post it. Yes, the Sunshine Project is, the whole concept of the Sunshine Project is that we shine the light on the dark corners of what the government is doing so that you can see what's going on. Yeah.
Cool.
And I got a sound clip, which I don't have for you. It's not posted. But Lou Dobbs, I guess is the guy's name, and this senator. Oh, no, Lou Dobbs is the guy, and the senator was a different dude. Which was the fucking guy's name? Was it Senator David something or other? Oh, rats. I had this here, and I didn't put it back in, and I don't... David Dreyer, there it is. Senator David Dreyer was on this with Lou Dobbs, whoever the fuck he is. I guess he's some American guy on one of the home shopping channels down there.
Okay.
Which is what all the other channels are. They're all home shopping. Fox is a home shopping channel.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's all commercial.
And the news, and you can buy drugs, buy this, buy that. Back drugs. Now.
You're not happy enough.
So that's on Lou Dobbs on the home shopping channel down there, they had him. Senator David Dreyer came on with a new national ID card. And it was just so painful to watch the article. The guy literally sounds like a cross between a Baptist minister and a used car salesman. Well, you know, it's not a form of ID, and this is the best part. It's a card, right, that has your nationality on it, and it's your social insurance number, and you need to present this card when you get a new job.
Right.
You know, because if you're an immigrant, and it says right on the card, this is not national identification, because you don't have to present it when you take a flight or whatever, so it's not national, and it says on the card, this is not national identification, even though it has your name, your photograph, and it's part of a massive database, this is not ID.
For the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you not piss on my back and tell me it's raining? Okay, how fucking high do you have to be to believe that this photo ID that I've got here is not photo ID? Not a gun. I am not holding a gun. This is not a gun.
I am not pulling the trigger to this gun.
This is not a gun. This is a coercion tool. Okay? Like, give me a fucking break. You know? And this is the kind of thing. And this guy's in there trying to sell this thing on the Lou Dobbs program. And Lou's like, you can kiss my ass. That's ID. You know? So at least there was some opposition to it. And he's all like, well, me and my Republican brotherhood, and we're all brothers here. Brother, and we were burning crosses while we were talking about this. And blah, blah, blah. You know? Oh, man. I can't believe these guys. A New Hampshire woman loses her insurance coverage because of her politics.
Oh, okay.
The insurance company called it common practice to do this. Helen Johnson, an 80-year-old retired pediatrician. Okay. A doctor, pediatrics. That's a doctor who's dedicated her life to working on children.
Yes.
Okay. Who hardly considers herself much of a risk of being sued now that she's, like, retired and 80.
Yeah.
Now, but her insurance company sees it differently. Johnson... is losing extra coverage she bought years ago while still practicing medicine, not because she's a retired doctor, because she's active in the Francistown politics. Okay. The Providence Mutual Fire Insurance Company sent her a letter last month notifying her it is not renewing her $1 million umbrella policy next month because of the political positions the insurer holds. If she just wanted to retire a doctor, it wouldn't have been an issue. Dale Groves, vice president for underwriting of Providence RI Company, says. Johnson is vice chairwoman of her town's Democratic Committee and a member of the Hillsborough County Democratic Committee. She helps campaign by distributing posters and making calls. She helps out.
Okay.
Okay. And she's held a get out the vote session for Howard Dean at her house.
Okay.
And that's all she had to do to get listed as a political threat with this insurance company.
So the insurance company has different political ideals than she does, therefore she can't be insured anymore.
It's common practice within the industry not to cover that because of libel and slander risks. So the insurance companies know that if you're somehow making waves, we're not covering you because you'll get sued. That's your backup fucking off on you is exactly what that is. The insurance companies are like, yeah, we know that they're locking down and we're not going to cover you for it. So if you want to, you know, check the orchard, you know, look at the fruit on these trees here.
Everybody better just keep quiet and to themselves and not make any waves.
Don't make any waves. You better shut up, Sean, or they're going to come arrest you. Okay. Got a lot of forest here. RFID is here. Despite widespread consumer opposition, Walmart began item-level RFID radio frequency identification tagging of consumer goods as part of their trial. In an apparent effort to minimize its backlash to its RFID tags, Walmart has also began a public relations campaign to promote the technology that some are calling unethical. Some, you know, few fringers. Shoppers at even at seven Dallas-Fort Worth area Walmart stores can walk into a consumer electronics department to find a Hewlett-Packard products for sale with live RFID tags attached. Walmart's public statements appear to leave open the possibility that other goods could be tagged with RFID as well. The giant retailer's decision to tag individual items on the store floor violates a call for a moratorium on such tagging issued by over 40 of the world's most respected privacy and civil liberties organizations. The move has sparked sharp criticism by a privacy community. Walmart is blatantly ignoring the research and recommendations of dozens of privacy experts, says Catherine Albrecht, founder of director of Caspian, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. When the world's largest retailer adopts technology with chilling social implications and does so irresponsibly, we should all be deeply concerned. Well, amen to that. In addition to violating a call for more to the moratorium on RFID tagging items in stores, Walmart has begun a consumer education campaign that Caspian is calling unethical. Read the facts at Walmart's corporate website and you'll find plenty of half-truths, Albert says. They call consumer education, but the omissions and spin make it feel more like a calculated disinformation campaign. That's part of the media war. Albert provided an example of Walmart's statement that RFID tags in its stores are harmless since they contain nothing more than identification numbers. While technically that's true, Walmart fails to explain what it means for items to carry remote readable unique ID numbers. It's like saying someone's social security number is only a number, so sharing it with perfect strangers should not be a concern. It's totally been spun. All right, you want to check that out. It's really, really brutal how Walmart is just, you know, completely waltzed all over, you know, any kind of rights that is out there, any kind of price. Because it's about leverage. It's all about leverage. We have no leverage against Walmart. They're not union. They're not going to unionize their employees. They got more people in uniform than the fucking U.S. Army. Okay? Who's really running the show down there?
Yeah.
You know, seriously. They are the labor camp. You know, well, here...
Largest company in the world.
Welcome to Walmart. Work will make you free. You know, that's totally what's going on. Then they got slave wage. Every time when I go into a Walmart, I've only been to Walmart about six times because we got one of those big buck bastards down in Langley here.
Yeah.
I walk in there and there's some 60-year-old woman with dead eyes staring
welcome
at me when I walk through the door
Walmart.
And they say, "Welcome to Walmart." And I want to grab her and run. You know, I'm here to get you out. Excuse me. You know, seriously, I can't, like, oh my God. Just every time I go into Walmart, and it's like that woman from that Metallica video, the da 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 da. Every time I walk through Walmart, I hear that song over and over again. These people, you know, with like their shackles, and then my vision acuity, you know, goes a little bit, and suddenly they're wearing striped suits, and then they're back in their Walmart shoes, and they're all like da 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 da. We got all the sketsies up there running the show, and we got all the little, you know, slaves down here doing their thing for $4 an hour. And how old are you, mother? Well, welcome to Walmart. Bang thud. You know, you're too old, so we're going to ditch you out. No insurance for you because you're too old. And you listen to Sean Kennedy, so your politics are all messed up. We know because we monitor your computer and because you use AOL. And no one's educating you, and that's all fine. Oh, my God. Makes me sane. Walmart is the devil, just in case you want to know. Now, number 12. Your daily hack is about lie detectors. Now, there's a story about lie detectors here. The British government unveils a plan to make lie detector tests mandatory for convicted pedophiles. Of course, we're going to start with the pedophiles.
Oh, yeah. Everyone can agree on those.
Yeah, we can do live experimentation on pedophiles. No one will bitch. Some scientists in the U.S. are working on more advanced technology where it might be better equipped in detecting deception. Imagine the Pentagon equipped with a machine that can read minds. Sounds like the plot of a Hollywood thriller? Well, it might not be that far away. Now, for those of you who don't know how conventional lie detectors work, it measures the breathing rate with a galvanometer, tests how much of the subject is sweating by measuring the skin's resistance, and measures the heart rate and BP, which increases under stress.
All right, so they got those three little needles going.
Yeah, that's what they got. The results from each instrument appear as wave patterns. By comparing the patterns with those when the subject was definitely telling the truth, the examiner can spot a potential lie. This story is disinformation and bullshit. Let me tell you how to defeat lie detectors right now, okay? A lie detector only works if you believe that the lie detector can catch you in the lie. because that will create stress. The more they tell you lie detectors work, the more you believe lie detectors work, and therefore when you are detected with a lie detector, they pick up these three trivial points of information. All they know is your breathing rate, how much you're sweating, and how much stress you have. That's how they're determining whether or not you lie.
Right.
Now, as we all know, and if you don't know, do the research, dreams, when you remember a dream, it is indistinguishable from remembering a real event that happened in your life. If you met a woman in a dream and you met a woman on the street, later when you remember those two events, they produce the same memory signature in your mind. Therefore, if you were to say use something that is a tool that they want to vilify because it's evil, like role playing, you could create events in your mind and believe in your core being. If you can convince yourself that these events are true, the lie detector will therefore also believe these events to be true. So if you build yourself a solid persona and roleplay this stuff through and do whatever you need to do to crank your head open in order to convince yourself of certain truths, you can walk through lie detectors.
Right.
So that's
makes sense.
I mean, this is just common fact, but no one's, of course, going to talk about this. That's just about all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back with you tomorrow, unlike I was on Friday. Because on Friday I said, I'll be back tomorrow, which I wasn't.
But lies.
Yeah, it's bad. To make sure that you get the information you need to stay alive, whether you know your government wants you to have it or not. Now, this is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of the people on my piece of paper, which is hiding underneath my computer.
Oh, lucky.
Lucky it was here. The people who are the leadest hacksaws ever are.
Jesse, from December.
From December. Yes, from December. I went over that last
yes,
show.
Yes, I heard. I yes.
Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, WebLife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. Thank you very much. You all rocks are my socksaws. And if you would like to keep this daily broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on donate, and give me all your money. Special thanks to the reporters Transix, Sylvanus, Jinjin Machina, Ricky Rocket, BlitzCon, Kevlar Gibbs, and Noble Freak for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to any pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's news, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. Now, I got some digital baptisms.
Ooh.
Yes, I do. I may have missed some people. If I miss you, send me another email, whatever, and I'll get you. There's only one. Choir Boy is now known as Lung Kisser.
Lung Kisser.
I like that one.
Wow.
Now then, I have this one other piece. You'll notice I didn't say send me sensitive information. I know. He's looking at the time and he's freaking out.
The clock is ticking.
I got this sent to me by Ricky Rocket. You really ought not to request sensitive information, even if you do have some sort of encryption.
That was missing.
Yeah. The reason for this is the Security Information Act, which means that you, anyone in Canada, willingly accept secrets from a party with privileged information can be indicted. The actual section of the law is 3. Here's the exact. Every person who receives any secret official code, word, password, sketch, plan, model, article, note, document, or information knowing or having reasonable ground to believe at the time that he receives that the code, word, password, sketch, plan, model, article, not document, or blah, 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 is communicating with the contravention of this act, is guilty of an offense under this act unless he proves the communication to be him of the code, word, blah, 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 was contrary to his desire. So unless you upload and prove to me, so don't send me any sensitive information, for God's sakes, because I just found out that I'd be breaking the law.
Oh, God.
So the last thing you'd want to send me is sensitive information. Mind you, if I get given sensitive information, this is a conundrum for me, because if I get given sensitive information against my will that I know is going to be useful to the world, I ethically and morally have a responsibility, even by the founding fathers of the United States Constitution,
yes,
to go against that law because I believe that law to be illegal,
yes,
and send it out. So to make things easier, for God's sakes, everyone out there, don't send me anything that might be subversive.
That'd be awful.
Or sensitive. Please. Especially not after I get my FTP up, which I'm going to be doing this week. In other words, be careful what you say about sensitive information. The key here, I think, is willingly to receive it. So don't ask unless you want to do time. Okay, noted. Thank you, Ricky Rocket. I think we've all communicated our intent to the people out there.
Yes.
If you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up Juno Reactor's, one of their albums. I don't know if there's their last album, but
it's a
really good album.
It's good stuff.
Beyond the Infinite. And I'll leave you with a little bit of Noam Chomsky. So do you want to say goodbye this time rather than have me cut you off?
Do you want me to say that or you say that?
No. Yeah, I'm reading this. this off the show. I just want to say so. Special thanks to Sam.
I'll see you next Monday.
You will, because he won't really be able to see him because it's radio.
That's right. You can look at the picture on the webpage of me and then hear my voice. Put the two together and pretend I'm talking.
Yeah, that's right. And, and
I'm not in any of the videos.
And he's sexy. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said.
Business Week points out that, I'm just quote some things to give you the flavor. They say over the past dozen years, meaning basically since the Reaganites took over, over the past dozen years, U.S. industry has conducted one of the most successful anti-union wars ever with a chilling effect. The purpose, they're very clear about the purpose. They say management's basic goal was to undermine the rights that were guaranteed by the 1935 Wagner Act, which brought the United States into the civilized world briefly. They were very quickly undermined. If there's time, I'll come back to that. Some of those rights are still guaranteed by law, but as Business Week points out, that's just a technicality. They don't make a comment on it, they just mention it. The basic method of this successful anti-union war was illegally firing thousands of workers for exercising their rights to organize. They point out that illegal firings increased by a factor of 6 for organizing from the late 60s to the late 80s, mostly during the 80s. Employers illegally fired, unlawful firings occurred in 1/3 of all representation elections in the late 80s. It's compared with 8% in the late 60s. And they quote a Harvard law professor who points out, even more significant than the numbers is the perception of risk among workers who think they'll be fired in an organizing campaign. And that's true. Any union organizer can tell you that. If the chances are that the employers will be able to simply fire people who exercise their legal rights with government protection, the risk of even entering into an organizing campaign, which is not small, there's plenty of sacrifices involved, as you know, that increases enormously. In this respect, this is very much like these radically mislabeled free trade agreements. It's a lot of talk about job flow and stuff like that, which nobody can estimate, and it's kind of a minor factor anyhow. The major factor is just the threat. The threat of that jobs can move is enough to drive down wages and working conditions in the wealthier countries, and good behavior is meanwhile guaranteed elsewhere by terror and repression that American taxpayers pay for so that they can undercut their own jobs and harm plenty of other people, as well as by driving peasants into the urban labor force in third world countries by programs to force them into agro-export for American agribusiness and by flooding the countries with subsidized U.S. farm products, what's called aid or food